Is it really possible that the end times could begin at any moment? Find out in today's episode of Grace in Focus. Hi, I'm Lucas Kitchen with the Grace Evangelical Society. This is a great Monday for you to have joined us because we are finishing up today our series on parables. We've been discussing the parables of Jesus, and it has been a lot of fun. So we're going to go straight to the Grace in Focus studios with Dr. Bob Wilkin and Sean Lazar as they discuss the fig tree, Luke 21, 29 through 33. Here's Grace in Focus.
Welcome to Grace in Focus. My name is Sean Lazar.
Hi, my name is Bob Wilkin.
And we are going through the parables of Jesus, and we're in Luke right now. This is Luke chapter 21, verses 29 to 33. Now, this is extremely short, Bob.
Right.
How are we going to get 12 minutes out of this?
I'm not sure how we're going to finish it in 12 minutes. You better start.
Okay, all right.
Keep going.
So this takes place in the middle of a very long discourse by Jesus, first of all.
Correct.
He talks about all kinds of eschatological things. Now, that's a big word, but what it means is, actually, there's a joke, isn't
there? You know
that
story?
Yeah, what's the joke?
The husband is a seminary student, and he says to his wife, I just can't understand eschatology.
And then she says, don't worry, it's not the end of the world.
But it is the end of the world.
Okay. Eschatology is the study of the end times. So Luke chapter 21, verse 29. Then he spoke to them a parable. Look at the fig tree and all the trees. When they're already budding, you see and know for yourselves that summer is now near. So that's probably something that everyone can relate to. After winter, what's a sign that summer was coming or spring is coming?
Right, you've got everything budding out.
You start seeing green on the trees a little bit more and the flowers start coming out.
And by the way, only here does the Lord say, and all the trees in verse 29. In the other synoptic gospels, they don't mention and all the trees. And all the trees evidently looks at the Gentile nations.
Oh, interesting.
The fig tree would look at Israel, and then all the trees would look at the nations. And when the kingdom comes, it's going to impact both Israel and all the trees. In fact, notice how verse 31 takes the figure, the summer is now near, and explains what that figure means.
So you also, verse 31, so you also, when you see these things happening, know that the kingdom of God is near. What does this tell us? First of all, it tells us that the kingdom is not yet. It's not there.
A lot of people today say today, the kingdom is already here, but it's not yet here.
Right.
No. In no sense is it here.
Right. It's still future.
It's still future. And by the way, this reminds me when John the Baptist and Jesus were preaching, they said, repent for the kingdom of heaven is at hand.
Right.
Matthew 3:2, Matthew 4:17. The kingdom was at hand in the first century when Jesus came for that generation of Jews.
Right.
They rejected him.
Right.
Well, now he's talking to them about when the kingdom will be near again.
Right.
Now, they don't know how long this is going to be, but we know we haven't gotten there yet, unless, of course, one of the views is this does look at AD 70, but I don't think so.
Right. And so this disproves several theories of what the kingdom is, like the medieval church, the Roman Catholic Church, the Orthodox Church. They thought the church was the kingdom.
That's called replacement theology,
right,
where the church takes over the promises made to Israel, and that's wrong, wrong, wrong. As Paul points out in Romans 9, 10, 11, there is a future for Israel.
Right.
And when the kingdom comes, the kingdom will be established for Israel. And that's what Jesus is talking about here.
Right, right. And the body of Christ is not that real kingdom that's coming for Israel. Acts chapter 1, verse 6, the apostles say, is it now at this time that you will be restoring the kingdom to Israel? So even the apostles understood that, one, they were not in the kingdom currently. Two, the kingdom was not a spiritual thing. Three, that the kingdom was going to be given to Israel. And four, the kingdom was still future. So they understood that. And that was after being taught by the risen Christ for over 40 days.
Right. You and know? None of that was corrected by Jesus.
Yeah, Jesus
he
didn't
just
say,
said, it's not for you
he didn't
to
say,
know
guys,
the time.
Seriously? It's been a month I've been teaching this, and you got it all wrong. The Roman Catholic Church is the kingdom, guys. Come on. No,
he
actually,
sounds Italian,
actually, yeah.
Now.
Actually, Calvin has a really interesting comment on that verse. Calvin says there are as many errors as words in that question. So Calvin thought every single part of the apostles' question was wrong because Calvin thought he was an omelet. Well, we were not really sure what he was, but he thought the kingdom was now. That's not biblical. The kingdom is future. It's going to be real. It's coming, and it's primarily for Israel. When you see these things happening, you know that the kingdom of God is near. Verse 32, assuredly I say to you, this generation will by no means pass away till all things take place. Now, this is tricky.
Right.
What generation is he talking about?
Okay, we got several questions here. One, when you see these things happening, what are these things we're talking about? And also, this generation will not pass away. And then notice how the very last verse impacts that a little bit. In verse 33, heaven and earth will pass away, but my words will not pass away.
Mm-hmm.
Well, heaven and earth will pass away at the end of the millennium.
Right.
We're told this in 2 Peter 3, 10 through 12, and also the book of Revelation, chapter 21. I saw a new heaven and the new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth had passed away. And so we know that time is coming, and it's definitely directly related to the kingdom of God is near.
Right.
I would say when he says the kingdom of God is near, he's talking about the millennium.
Okay.
The thousand-year reign of Christ, followed by the eternal state, and, mm-hmm. and of course, the millennium ending with the destruction of the current heavens and the current earth and the creation of the new earth.
And by the way, can we just say something about that?
Yeah.
The millennium. For people who've never heard of this before, what is the millennium?
Revelation 20 says that Jesus is going to rule for 1,000 years on this earth, but it's going to be cleaned up and improved, and it'll be much better than it is now during the millennium. Millennium means 1,000.
Right. So we believe Jesus is actually going to rule on this earth. And God created a physical world for a reason, all right? And he's going to have his way. And Jesus is going to rule on this earth. That's not spiritualized. It's not something that's put only in heaven. Some people think that, well, the kingdom of God is completely ethereal and it's all in heaven and has nothing to do with this earth. But no, the kingdom of God is future, and when it arrives, it's going to take place on the earth.
Right. And when he says that these things, these are signs. But the signs are not signs of the rapture. The rapture will be when the church leaves the earth, 1 Thessalonians 4:16 and 17, will be caught up, rapturo in Latin, to meet the Lord in the air.
Right.
That's when the seven-year tribulation period will begin. But there are no signs of the rapture. Notice the signs he gives are in verses 25 through 28.
And there will be signs in the sun and the moon and the stars, and on the earth distress of nations with perplexity, the sea and the waves roaring, men's hearts failing them from fear and the expectation of those things which are coming on the earth, for the powers of the heavens will be shaken. They will see the Son of Man coming in a cloud with power and great glory. Now, that's a pretty powerful sign there.
Right.
You know.
Well, that'll be the very, very, very end of the tribulation, but there will be also cosmic signs at the end of the tribulation, too.
Right. Now, when these things begin to happen, look up and lift up your heads because your redemption draws near. So that's the budding. That's the budding of the trees.
Right. So people who are in the time of Jacob's trouble, also called the tribulation, they will know they're in it, and there's several reasons. There will be a signing of a covenant between the man of sin and the nation of Israel, and that will be the first clue they're in the tribulation. Secondly, Israel will be in the land, it will have a temple, and they will have animal sacrifices going again. Third, at the midpoint, there's going to be a desecration of the temple called the Abomination of Desolation. And the man of sin is going to have an idol set up in the temple that will be able to speak and interact with people, and people will worship this idol. There's going to be lots of things going on. And the second half of the tribulation will be exceedingly bad. There'll also be the mark of the beast during this time. There'll be lots of things to indicate that the people are in the tribulation. And when they're there, they know that the kingdom is just around the corner.
You know, people might hear this and they might be skeptical about it. They might think, really, are we going to that whole Left Behind movie scenario? Are we Kirk Cameron and who remade the movie recently? Nicolas Cage recently remade that movie. Well, here's what convinces me, okay? I consider myself an intelligent person, a rational person. Here's what convinces me. After 2,000 years, Israel became a nation in 1948. After 2,000 years, they became a nation again.
It was a miracle, especially when you realize that the way it became a nation was by nearly being exterminated through Hitler.
Right. If that's not prophecy fulfilled, Arnold Fruchtenbaum, he interprets these prophecies as there's going to be a regathering in unbelief and then a second regathering in belief. If that isn't prophecy fulfilled literally, I look at that and I think to myself, we need to take these prophecies about the kingdom literally. And what you've just been talking about with the abomination of desolation and the desecration, all of those means taking the prophecies literally.
That's precisely right. Basically, what the Lord is telling us is just as the Jews of the first century should have been living each day in light of the coming kingdom, every single Christian in every generation since then should have been living in light of Christ's soon return. Yes, it's been almost 2,000 years, and we don't know how long it'll be. We assume, right, Sean, that Christ is going to return in our lifetime.
Right.
Which your lifetime's longer than mine. But
hopefully.
Still, yeah, right.
Unless, yeah.
But hopefully the Lord's going to return before we die, and we'll be raptured to meet him in the air. But whether he does or whether he doesn't, we're to live every day in light of his soon return, and that's the point. And those who are alive in the tribulation, which won't be church-age saints, those people will especially live in light of his soon return. So all of the Christian life is revolving around Jesus. He gives us salvation, he gives us abundance of life, and he will give us abundance of life in the life to come if we serve him faithfully now. So let's keep our focus on him, and let's long to hear him say, "Well done, good and faithful servant."
Thanks to Bob and Sean for that great discussion. What a great reminder that we need to be vigilant, we need to be watching, we need to be waiting, we need to love the idea of Christ finally appearing. If you want to find out how to be more motivated along those lines, I hope you'll join us at faithalone.org. That's faithalone.org. Now, the reason why I tell you that is we have all kinds of free resources at the website that are designed to help you grow and mature spiritually. One of those things is our magazine. It's called Grace in Focus, the same name as this show. It's a beautifully laid out, full-color print magazine. It comes out 6 times a year. You can get a completely free subscription right on the website. I hope you'll take advantage of that. In addition to this, we have all kinds of other free resources. We've got free teaching videos, free podcasts, free ebooks, free blog posts, free Bible study materials. We've got lots of stuff that could really help you out to help you stay vigilant, watching and waiting for Christ's return. Well, I hope that you'll consider reaching out to us. We have an email address that is specifically designed to let you talk to Bob and Sean. They love to get feedback, comments, and questions. And so here's the email address that you can reach our team at. It's radio@faithalone.org. That's radio@faithalone.org. The final thing that I want to tell you about today is becoming a financial partner. This is a really important part of our ministry, and we usually don't make a big deal about this, but every once in a while we like to slow down and just say thank you so much to all of those of you who are financial partners with us. You've helped us make this ministry what it is. One of the reasons I mention this is because soon we are expanding to even more radio stations. We're very excited about seeing this ministry grow, and thank you so much. If you'd like to become a financial partner, you can find out how to do that at faithalone.org. It's really an exciting time to get involved with the Grace Evangelical Society. Well, tomorrow on the program, we're going to begin a new series, and it's a little unique. It's the first time we've done something pretty special, so you're going to want to tune in for that. I'm Lucas Kitchen with the Grace Evangelical Society, and until next time, let's keep grace in focus.